Our passage of scripture today as we continue in John's gospel is John 18, and I'll be reading verses 10 through 27. John 18, verses 10 through 27. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain of the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was warm, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Then the high priest asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered, "I spoke openly to the world. I also taught in the synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I have said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. And I have in your outline, as well as in my notes, a big picture of that particular verse. Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. And immediately after Peter heard the rooster crow, we read in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 26:75, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly." It had to be the worst day, maybe the worst moment in Peter's life. And yet, while it was the worst, it was also, I believe, a life-changing moment. From that moment on, Peter would no longer be self-confident, but his confidence would be in God and in Jesus Christ and in them alone. But let us consider firsthand the account of what happened. As we've read, Peter seems, in this circumstance, ready to fight. In John 18:10, it says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus." What he is not ready for, Peter, is for Jesus' willingness to take the cross. In the very next verse, it says, "So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" And so Peter was ready to fight for Jesus. I think that's what he thought. He would die fighting for his Lord. But Jesus is going to go willingly with these wicked men who are going to arrest him. This was at least the second time Peter had to be corrected in regard to the cross. In Matthew 16, 21 through 24, we read, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." Peter is rebuking Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And so you see, even there, Peter had a problem with the cross, so much so that his Lord, who he's willing to follow in everything, and even here he calls Lord, he says, "No, Lord." "No, Lord" sounds kind of funny, because Lord means you're going to obey the Lord, but here he's arguing with the Lord. Jesus had spoken of his coming death, Matthew 16, 21, that how he would suffer. Peter had felt a need to correct Jesus in verse 23, but Jesus rebukes Peter, even saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," calling Peter Satan. And Jesus finishes this debate not only arguing for his own cross, but a cross for us who are his disciples, who are his followers as well. He's saying, not only is he going to take a cross, but in some sense or another, we each have our own cross that we take if we're truly Christ's followers. Peter had proclaimed his willingness to die with Jesus while also contradicting Jesus. In Matthew 26, 33 through 35, it says, "Peter answered him and said, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And so said all the disciples." He was ready to die for Jesus. He was ready to go all the way with Jesus. Wherever Jesus would lead is what he seems to be indicating. And all the other disciples are saying the same, even though Jesus told them, he told Peter that Peter would deny him, and he told the rest, "You will all be scattered." Peter seems willing to die fighting for and with Jesus, but taking the cross, allowing himself to be arrested, these things messed with the less spiritual parts of Peter's mind and heart. Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake." John 17:13-37. That's something he'd said some time ago for us, as far as going through the Gospel of John. This was actually very recent, just the same night, actually, or day, the evening of, now it's probably after midnight, so it's the next day, but it's very close. Peter is saying, "I will die with you." And yes, Peter seems to be willing to follow Jesus in a fight, but he doesn't want to follow Jesus in what seems to be a total give up. Jesus is just going to give himself up to die, and Peter doesn't understand that yet. It says in John 18, 12 through 16, then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him, and they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Note, Peter sees. He sees these things happening. He sees Jesus arrested. He sees Jesus bound. And he sees Jesus led away to be judged. And Peter is no longer walking by faith, what Jesus told him. He's walking by sight. It's just like when he walked on the water. If you remember, when he was looking at Jesus and trusting in Jesus, he walked on the water. But as soon as he saw the storm and the wind around him, he sank. And here, he seems to have had some faith, but at this point when he sees Jesus arrested and bound and led away to be judged, it leaves him. Satan is coming into him, and it goes to our next point, Peter's denials. Verses 15 through 17, and Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple who was known to the high priest went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." I believe, and most people who know the scripture, most commentators say this other disciple is John himself, who's writing the gospel. He knew about these things. He was the other disciple, another disciple, because he does not want his gospel to focus on him. He wants it to focus on Christ. Peter had certain weaknesses. He had a long-standing problem with the cross. Remember what I read just earlier, when Jesus spoke about the cross, Peter rebuked him, said, "No, Lord," and Jesus had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to him. He had an unrealistic view of his own commitment. Peter said, "Lord, why cannot I follow you? I will lay down my life for you," John 13:37. And also, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Everybody else may fail, Peter says, but not me. He looked around at all the other disciples and he said, "I am the best. They might fall, but not me." He had not been praying. Remember in Gethsemane, this is the same night, Jesus is praying, great sweat drops of blood, and he would come to his disciples to get them to pray with him, the apostles. There were only three there, Peter, James, and John. And it says, then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Any of us who've ever struggled with prayer can understand Peter and James and John. They were sleeping when Jesus was praying fervently. And if Jesus needed prayer, then Peter and James and John needed prayer. And Peter needed prayer not only because of what Christ was doing, but what God had told Jesus and Jesus had told Peter. Satan was after Peter. The Lord said, this is beforehand, and the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." And what we see in this passage in John 18 is Satan sifting Peter as wheat, pretty much getting Peter to say satanic things. He didn't know Jesus. He even curses and swears that he didn't know him. We are in a battle with Satan and with his minions. We need God's power, all of us do. It says in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We are in a battle, and when we look around us, it often seems like Satan is winning. More and more people are leaving churches. We are struggling to get the truth out. Oftentimes the churches, in order to gain people, are doing things that are not godly in order to attract people in. And so we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong in His power. With all his weaknesses, though, Peter still had one thing going for him, his relationship with Christ. In Luke 22, 31 and 32, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Here Peter is predicting, or Jesus is predicting what happened with Peter. Jesus knew Peter would deny him. Jesus knew Peter's weaknesses. Peter didn't see his own weaknesses, but Peter did have one thing going for him. He really did trust in Christ. He really did believe in him. And because of that, Peter will be saved, and Peter is a leader in the church. And we all can take a lesson from that, because sometimes we feel very weak and we fail and we falter. And yet, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is not with us. We just need to depend upon him more. Thirdly, point number three, Peter's denials were dreadfully weak denials. They weren't just little denials, they were dreadfully weak. The first one is before a servant girl. It says in John 18, 17, "Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, 'You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?' He said, 'I am not.'" Just think of this. John, or the other disciple, if you want to doubt that it was John, is known by the high priest, is known by the girl at the door to be one of his disciples. John brings Peter in, and the girl asks him if he's one of the disciples, and Peter says, "No, I am not." You are not also. She knows John is, but he's not willing to say that he is. They happen when Peter is in relative comfort. It's interesting. Jesus is being tried. He's bound and he's sent away. People are striking him, according to John 18, 19 through 21. And yet during this time, Peter is warming himself by the fire. He's comfortable. Now the servants and the officers made a fire of coals and stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Oh, so far from the cross of Christ, he would warm himself when Jesus is going to be suffering. "Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore he said to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.'" So he says, well, to these men who are warming themselves, "No, I'm not one of his disciples." And then Peter's denial is a lie against someone who surely knew. In 26 and 27 of John 18, it says, "One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Then Peter denied, and immediately a rooster crowed." According to Matthew, Matthew gives us a little more detail of these things. When Peter denied, he denied with an oath, verse 72 of Matthew 26. He says, "I do not know the man." When you deny with an oath, that you're basically saying, "I'm taking an oath. You can kill me or punish me if I'm lying. But I say with an oath, I do not know the man." And then verse 74, he's cursing and swearing. It says, "Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know the man.'" Then it says, immediately the rooster crowed. And in verse 75, it says, "Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So he went out and wept bitterly. Peter finally saw himself not as the best disciple, not as the champion of them all, not as the only one who would stick with Christ, but as bad as any of them, close maybe to Judas than to the best of them. And I believe it was right and good for Peter to realize his own weakness. We all are weak. We all need God to help us. And so what do we learn from these things? One, Peter was prepared, or Jesus was prepared by the power of prayer. Even though he's the Son of God, and even though he has that tremendous advantage, he still spent time in fervent prayer, praying before he went to the cross. And Peter was not. Peter was sleeping. If Peter, who walked on water a few steps, needed to pray more than he did, so do we. Just like if David, who defeated the Goliath, needed to pray and could fall terribly, so do we. We need to pray daily that God would hold us up, that he would keep us strong. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. They needed to know this. Peter needed to know this, and he did it at this time. He was too self-confident and not enough God-dependent. He wasn't praying. Why? I think partly he thought he didn't need to. He would fight for Jesus. He would die for Jesus, but he didn't. Peter's sinful distaste for Christ's cross could probably be said to be because of Peter's love for Jesus. Because Peter loved Jesus, he did not want him to endure the pain of the cross. You know, if this is one of Peter's only sins, you would think it's not a great sin, is it? But it is. It's really satanic. He did not want he didn't want Jesus to go to the cross because he thought, I don't want those terrible things to happen to my Lord. And yet Jesus' going to the cross was obedience to God. The cross was God's will for Jesus, and we are taught by Jesus to pray, Thy will be done, even when doing his will is difficult. Even when the person going through that difficulty is someone dear to us, the closest thing I can think of this is when children decide God is leading them to the mission field. Then the parents, who may be very godly Christians, are talking to their very intelligent son or their very sweet daughter. You can do so many other things than go to a Muslim country where you might be killed. You have so many abilities. You can stay here. You can stay with us. You can get a job in business. You can make a lot of money. But when the child wants to go to the mission field, and if it's clearly God's will for that child to go to the mission field, then it's the adult's duty to encourage, not discourage that. Even if that person's going to what looks like a dangerous place. And that's what was happening with Christ. He was going to a dangerous place. God had told him, he knew he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to die. And Peter could not help but say, No, Lord. And you might think, well, part of that is because Peter loved Jesus. He didn't want to see him go through that. But love sometimes means and lifts us up to the high calling that we have. And that high calling for Jesus was to take that cross for all of us. The Christian parents, sometimes they don't want their children to go on the mission field. But if it's God's will, they should encourage that. When we look at Scripture, doing what is right and good is always preferred to doing what is easy and comfortable. In Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, it says, By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And so Moses, he was a prince in Egypt. He could have had everything, which he did, you know, for many years growing up. in that pampered situation. But when he found out that his circumstance was wrong, that his true brethren were being, you could say, forced into slavery, he took the lower position and he gave up all his treasures. True love for a person holds them up to God and to a high calling. Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Being perfect in that way sometimes means doing things that we don't know or think we can do. Yet it's common today in our wicked world to equate even allowing sin with love. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Our ungodly world says, "If you love me, love my sin too. Don't require me to keep any commandments. I want to live this way and this way and this way, and you're not loving unless you let me sin." That's the way of our world today. They say, "If you require me to keep God's commands, you are hateful." But you are not. Love them dearly, hold them to the highest is what we should have as our motto. We hold people to the high calling of God, not just to what is easy. And Peter was not holding his Lord to the high calling, but thankfully Jesus didn't need Peter's help. Realize we cannot depend on our own strength, our own abilities. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." When Peter was disobeying Jesus, when he separated himself from Jesus, what was he accomplishing? He probably thought he was protecting himself because he was scared that he would be crucified with Jesus or arrested with Jesus. But none of that happened. He knows at the end when he's crying and weeping bitterly that he is betrayed the one he loved. Finally, my brethren, it says in Ephesians 6:10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." There are circumstances that require us to be strong in the strength of the Lord. Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." And there's only one way of salvation, and that is through God, through Jesus Christ. Jesus alone gains us the victory and salvation in this lost world. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him," meaning overcame Antichrist, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." They overcame by what Christ did, the blood of the Lamb. They overcame because they trusted him and were willing to follow him even to the death. Who did they overcome? It says in Revelation 12:9, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world." They defied Satan. They defied the Antichrist. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies. They did not love their lives unto death. We are also called to follow Jesus, to do his will, not only when it's easy, but even when it's hard. And not only are we to do his will ourselves, but we're to encourage others and not discourage them when they seek to do his will, even though it's hard. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We pray you'd bless us in all that we seek to do, that we might serve you faithfully. And Father, we thank you for Jesus who took that cross and followed you. And Father, we even thank you also for Peter. Peter, he failed this first time, but we see his faith was still in you. And you lift him up and forgive him and you help him and he becomes a great leader in the church. One who had a major part in the church getting started. And so, Father, we thank you that you use men that are not perfect. You use men and women who have difficulties, who have issues, who have problems. And Peter had his problems as well. And, Father, we thank you that we don't have to be perfect because Christ your Son, our Savior, is perfect for us. And we thank you for that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I have to turn this back on. Closing hymn is not what our hands have done. Number 461. Please stand with me as we sing. Not what my hands have done.